The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf Mem Dalet, today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Mor Zekeri Yosef ben Sarah v'merat Zekanati Yafa v'tzara. Once already we're learning the case like this, Rav Sheshat's interpretation of the case of the Braita. Now let's learn how we learned the case over here. He made it, the Gemara is going to say, you made it overly complicated. You could have came with the same Hiddush very simple. You gave a case where Reuven sold the field to Levi. Reuven's a gazlan. Shimon claimed that Reuven's a gazlan, and then you have you had a gazlan that sold. Reuven was a gazlan and sold to Levi, right? So the Gemara is going to ask, you didn't need to give a case where Reuven sold. You could have just give a case of Reuven stole from Shimon straight. Reuven stole from Shimon, and then Yehuda came and contested. It's the same case. You don't need that sale in between. Gemara says, Velukme begazlan. The Braita could have gave the same case of that. Instead of giving the case of Reuven sold the field and Yehuda challenged, you could have just given a case of Yehuda challenged Reuven while his field was in his possession, and that Shimon is disqualified from testifying in Reuven's defense. Which means, we're not going to allow Shimon to testify in Reuven's defense, because either he feels it's easier for him to get it from Reuven, or because Yehuda has witnesses. It's the same mechanics. You didn't have to say that Reuven, the thief, stole it to Levi. We didn't need that extra case. Just give a case. Reuven stole the field from Shimon. Okay? Reuven stole the field from Shimon. Now Shimon has claims. And also Yehuda comes and says, that's my field. Okay, so now we're going to say, Reuven cannot testify that the field belongs to Reuven. Why? Because this is an advantage to do that, to knock out Yehuda. Either because it's easy for him to get it from Reuven, because Reuven's an easier guy, or because Reuven is, Shimon doesn't have, Yehuda's witnesses, and therefore, if he's going to go against him, it'll be two against two in it. Why did you have to give a case of Mechira in between? So Gemara says, you're right, you didn't. Rav Sheshat could have taught his law just as well as with a straight up gazlan. So why did it say it then, with selling? Mishum deka ba'el limitne sefa. Because we wanted to say the sefa. The second case. What's the second case? Machar lo para, machar lo talet. What's that case? Reuven sold Levi the cow. That's the case of selling. Let's get the case of the second case. Reuven's a gazlan. He stole a cow, let's say, from Shimon. Well, that's what Shimon's claiming, at least, that he stole it. Reuven sold the cow to Levi. Now Yehuda comes along and says, that's my cow. And Shimon says, it's my cow. In this case over here, the Gemara says that there's no bias over here. Shimon can testify against Yehuda to establish the cow in Levi's possession. There the Gemara doesn't have a problem. So since in the Sefa we wanted to talk about a case of selling, we'll see why. So in the Resha also we gave a case of selling. You didn't need to give a case of selling. But since in the Sefa we gave a case of selling, so in the Resha also. Now why over there? The Davka Machar. In the Sefa you have to say the case is Machar. Why? In the case of objects, like a cow, let's say, which is a movable item, one of the ways you acquire possession is where the owner makes yi'ush, gives up hope, and then sells it to somebody else, so they have shinui reshut. So the guy that now is in possession has an advantage. He owns it. Why? Because the owner makes a yi'ush and you have a shinui reshut. Which means, in this case over here, Reuven was the gazlan. So Reuven doesn't own it. Reuven stole the cow. Shimon screamed, hey, that's my cow, that's my cow. What happened? But he gave up hope. Shimon gave up hope. He made yi'ush. How am I going to get my cow back? Why did he give up hope? Because he sold it to Levi. Now, how am I going to get it from Levi? So now, Levi really is the owner. Levi legitimately owns the cow. Because of the yi'ush of Shimon, and the shinui reshut, because it transferred reshut. So therefore, in this case over here, it belongs to who? It belongs to Levi. In that case over there, the Gemara is saying, that's why it's not a prejudice for Shimon to testify that it belongs to Levi. Why? It says like this. The Gemara explains the blight to be speaking of a case in when Shimon had already despaired, he made Yeush, before the Uven sold it to Levi. Therefore, although Levi bought the object from a thief, he's entitled to keep it because of Shimon's Yeush and a change of possession from the Uven to Levi. Okay. And therefore, no longer an interested party and may testify. In such a case, Shimon can no longer reclaim the property. Exactly. So therefore, he can testify against anybody he wants now because it's not coming back to him. But now Yehuda comes along and says, hey, it's mine. Also, now Shimon, in this case we say, can testify for Levi. The only reason why we don't let Shimon testify for Levi in the other case, because we're worried, the reason why you testify for Levi, because you eventually want to get it back. So you have an interest. Here, you're not getting it back. So you testify for whoever you want. Because bottom line, that's why you have to give a case of Mechira. Because once you give a case of Mechira in the Sefa, it legally belongs to Levi now. Because metaltalin on niknit with a yeush and a shinui reshut. So Levi, before Levi bought it from Reuven, Shimon said, "Vayli the hasrokis, I lost my cow." Yeush. Once Levi buys it with the yeush and the shinui, it belongs to Levi now. So there's not going to be a problem for Shimon to testify that the cow belongs to Levi, because initially with the case of the field, we're worried if he's going to testify that it belongs to Levi. You're doing that because you want to get it away from Levi eventually. Or you want it to say, it's not Yehuda's. Because you have an interest. It's not Yehuda's. And you're going to come back now and try to get it out of Levi. Oh, that's a bias. That's a Eidut that has a prejudice to it. But here, what's your prejudice? You're not getting it back anyway. Because bottom line, Levi legally owns it. And that's what the Gemara says. Avalo machar. But if he didn't sell it, dehadrale lo, so tani resha nami machar. But if you would give the case of a straight-up ganav, in the second case, of the cow, without a sale, so really Levi doesn't own it. So if Levi doesn't own it, so then we're back to the biased. Because bottom line, I'd rather testify that it belongs to Levi so I can get it back, so therefore you don't have a case. So the Gemara says, since in the Sefa you had to learn a case of Mechira, so in the Resha, which you really didn't, but we also gave a case of Mechira to keep it consistent with the Sefa. So comes the Gemara and says, wait. Oh, so the Gemara, I'm going to say that right now. Gemara says, Besefa Nameh, even in the Sefa, Nihid Miyaesh Migufeh, which means, right, Shimon already made Yehush, he's not getting his cow back. However, Midemeh Miyaesh, but he still wants to get the money back, which means maybe when the cow got stolen, he makes a partial use. He makes you that my cow's gone. Vayli the hasron kis on the cow. But he's going to go after the Uven for the money, for the value of the cow. And therefore, again, he has a bias. Because, now go back to the same thing. He shouldn't be able to testify that if it's not Yehuda's, because he feels it's easy for him to go to Levi to get his money back. So therefore, we shouldn't believe him to disqualify Yehuda's witnesses. As long as he has a bias to go, to keep it by Levi, that it should be pursued. We said, oh, it's Levi's. They don't buy it. No, it's Levi's for the cow, but he still wants the money. So Gemara says, lo tzericha demit gazlan. You know what the case is talking about? Reuven died. So he's not getting anything. Why? Why is he not getting anything? Ditnan hagozel umaachil et banav. Guy stole something and fed it to his children. Or he left it as an inheritance. Peturim mele shalem. They're peturim from paying anything. So therefore, Shimon has no recourse, not on the object, not on the money. By the way, it went to Reuven's kids. So he can't get the money back from Reuven's kids. That's the rule. Once a guy steals and gives it to his kids, feeds it to them, or gives it to Yerusha, it's over. Yeah, but he has no recourse.
Right, but he might say maybe they'll.
No, that's a matana. That's a matana. Why would they? By the way, why would they? If they don't have to, why would they?
Because
why would they?
People, they're good people.
No, they're not good people.
So it's only chance to get some money.
No. So he'll these children have no obligation to return the stolen object. It's legally theirs. You have a Yehusha to Shinu to shoot. You have a Yehusha to Shinu to shoot. It went to them. They have no obligation to repay the value of the... But again, he doesn't know that. He doesn't assume that. Okay. Velukme biyoresh. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. The Braita is talking about that case where the thief died. So then why did you have to give a case of a buyer? In the case of the cow, what was the case? You said a case of Reuven was a thief. Shimon claimed he was a thief on the cow. He sold it to Levi. Yehuda came along and said, it's mine. So we said, in that case over there, no problem, there's no bias on the board here. Let him go claim against, let him prove that it belongs to Levi even. Let him fight Yehuda to keep it by Levi. Because either it's Levi's, because he was going to use Vishnu to shoot anyway. Aye, but he still wants his money back. Doesn't matter. Reuven died. So he's not getting his money back because there's no... So why did you have to give a case at all where there was a sale? You could have gave this case straight, that it was a straight up Yoresh. How? Lukme be Yoresh. Which means Reuven stole from Shimon and died. And Yehuda now challenges Reuven. Very simple. Reuven stole from... You don't got to give a case that Reuven stole from Shimon and sold it to Levi. Just give the straight case. Reuven stole it from Shimon and died. Okay? And Yehuda is claiming that it's his. So therefore, in this case over here, you're not getting it back regardless, because the heirs don't have to give it back. So therefore, you have no bias to prove it that it belonged to Reuven more than it belonged to Yehuda. Why do you have to give the case... where Yehuda, where Reuven stole it and sold it to Levi. Get the sale of Levi out. Reuven stole it. Okay? Right? Reuven stole for sure and died. And Yehuda now challenges Reuven's heirs. Right. So it's between Yehuda and the heirs. Either way, you're not getting it, Shimon. Testify against who you want. Why do you have to give the case of the selling in between? Mm-hmm. So Gemara says, Hani Haleman de Amar. Rishut Yoresh, Lav Kirishut Lokayah Dami Shapir. Which means, if you hold that what? That the Rishut of a Yoresh, the possession of a Yoresh, is not like a buyer Shapir, then it's clear that the bright had to speak of a sale, since the transfer of stolen objects to the heirs alone will not prevent Shimon from recovering the object. Which means, there's a whole question, do you look at a Yoresh as Shinui Rishut? As a father and a son, you can look at it, it's not Shinui Reshut, it's going from the father to the son. So if you say that a Yoresh is not like a buyer, I understand now why you couldn't give that case. Because I need a case where Shimon can't recover it. So if you're going to say that what? An heir is not like a buyer, so you have no Shinui Reshut, so therefore Shimon can recover it, that's why you can't give the case, because then he has a bias to try to keep it by him, because he wants to get it back. However, if you get old in Lamanda Amar, the shooters could shoot Lokayamar. But if you hold that a Yoresh is like a buyer, that it's the same Shinui they shoot, so therefore the Yorshim are Koneh. So therefore you didn't gotta give a case where Reuven sold it to me. Give a simple case. Reuven stole. Died, it went to the heirs. That's like by the way, that's like selling it. So bottom line, you know where the heirs can keep it? Yeush plus Shinui Reshut. So therefore, Shimon's not getting it back anyway. So when Yehuda comes to contest, let Shimon fight Yehuda, that's not yours. Because he doesn't have an interest. So, but Yehuda's not yours, it belongs to the heirs. It belongs to the heirs. Either way, you don't gain. If it belongs to Yehuda, you can't get it back. And if it belongs to the heirs, you can't get it back. Why did you have to give a case where Reuven sold it to Levi, if you hold that Neshut Yoresh is like a Lokeyach, if you hold that the inheritor is like a buyer, now if you hold it's not like a buyer, I understand why you had to give a case of selling. Because then he has an interest to get it back. But if you hold the Neshut Yoresh like a Lokeyach, give that case. So the Gemara says, another question, by the way. That's the first question against Rav Sheshat. If you're learning the case Yoresh, you could have cut out the buyer. The odd kasha lila abaye mepnesh ahariyito alav ve'en ahariyito alav mepnesh she chozeret lo ve'en chozeret lo meve'ele. Right, the way you're learning now, what's the ikar difference between the first case of the house and the case of the cow? The difference is one can come back to him and one cannot come back to him. In the case of the house, by real estate, there's no such thing as Yi'ush and Shinui Reshut. You can't steal karka. Karka ena nigzelet. So therefore, you don't say, Yi'ush, Shinui Reshut. Those are things Shinui Reshut by karka. So therefore, in the first case, we understand, Shimon, you have a bias because you want to take it away from Yehuda. Yehuda says, hey, it's my field. Shimon cannot go to Yehuda. Why? Because we have a concern that he's not going to have Yehuda for his own interest to keep it by Levi so he can get it back. Because you know why? Because karka hozeret. That should be the language of the brayta. Because karka comes back. Mashiach, in the case of para, and the cow, once he makes yeush, and it went to the inheritors, let's say like you're saying, ena hozeret. So the language of the brayta should be, the Gemara asks, what's the difference in the Resha, where he's biased, and the Sefer is not biased? So the brayta's lesson was, Resha, because he has achrayut. Because he took responsibility. Sefa in Ahrayut. The word Ahrayut doesn't fit. It should be Resha She Hozeret. Sefa in Ahrayut. That's the issue. Could it come back to him or not? The language of the Gemara was in the Resha, the reason why is because he accepted Ahrayut. He accepted responsibility. The issue is not responsibility, not responsibility. The issue is can the field go back to him or not? So the Lashon should have been the Gemara. You know what the Resha is? Since the fear could come back to him, so therefore he has a bias to take it away from Levi. Would have to keep it by Levi because eventually it's going to come back. It's easy for him to fight Levi, so it's going to come back to him. Oh, it's going to come back to him. But in the case of the para, and a chozeret. So therefore, Abaye has two questions on Rav Sheshat's pshat. Question number one: where did you get the buyer case involved? Just give a case of a straight yoresh. If we hold yoresh like a lokayak, give the case of the heirs. And secondly, the lesson of achrayut. That's not the right words. The Gemara should say, the Resha's issue is Hoseret, because the fear can come back to him. The Sefer is in a Hoseret, what's not a problem? For that reason, they rehash the whole understanding. Ela. New understanding of the Braita. Ela! Kede Rabin Bar Shmuel, Amar Rabin Bar Shmuel, Meshemed Shmuel. New story. Hamocher Sadeh Lachavero, Shelo Ba'acharayut. Guy sold the field to his friend but without guarantees. What does that mean? That if it's taken away, if some guy claims, I don't got to reimburse you. I'm just telling you to straight up, there might be liens, there might be claims. You can't come back to me. Okay? En me'id lo aleha. Oh, he's not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf. Why? We saw this already. On the buyer's behalf. I cannot come and testify. Let's say somebody contends now. Huh? Well, you sold it to this guy? It's my field. The seller cannot come along and now be one of the witnesses to prove it that it's really belonging to the buyer. Well, what's the gain? He has no achrayut.
He's going to fight him.
He has no achrayut.
He doesn't care.
He has no care. You have no recourse. He sold it without responsibility. Right. So what's the bias over here? What's the problem? You can't come against me anyway. Which means even if I didn't testify, you can't. It was taken away from you. You can't come against me. Oh, so Gemara gives the reason. We saw this on yesterday's daf. That's right. No, because the seller makes the field available to his creditor. Let's say the seller had a loan outstanding. He owed money to somebody over there, right? And the law is, now the guy says, hey, where's my money? Okay. Now he doesn't have any fields. What can the creditor do? He goes to the fields that were sold. So therefore, it's my advantage, seller, to keep that field by the buyer So my creditors can go there. Because if this field goes somewhere else, so now I'm going to be considered Lover Rasha Ve'eno Meshalem. Because I'm not going to be able to pay him. I have no fields. Now they're going to call me a Rasha because I didn't pay back my debts. I don't want to do that. So I have an advantage to keep the field by the buyer. I'll say it again. What's my advantage? I sell it to them. I have no responsibility, by the way. So technically, let's take it away from him. Right. So I should be able to testify that it's his. Because even if it wasn't his, they're not going to come back to me for any money. No, but you have an advantage to testify that it's his. You know what my advantage is? Let's say I owe money. I'm the seller. I owe money. Guy's going to come to me. Where's my money? I have nothing. I don't have anything. Okay, but you know, what do you do in that case when he has nothing? You go to properties that were sold. Oh, so he's going to go to the property, take the property. Now I'm considered a borrower that paid back. That's a good feeling, by the way. I paid back. But if I'm going to, if that field doesn't belong to this guy now, which means if I let the ma'arir, the ma'arir takes it, now I can't pay you back because I have no field. You can't go back to this guy because it wasn't my field that I sold. And therefore, you're not paying back. Therefore, you're lover asha. You're lover asha velo yishalem. Therefore, I have an advantage to keep the field by that in order to pay back my creditor so they won't call me your lover asha velo yishalem. Good? So comes the Gemara and says, Vedavka bayit osadeh. Oh, so now the Gemara says, and that's only by a house in a field. Aval para vetalet. Lo mebaya bistama de lo meshabeda maitama metaltelenu u metaltele baalhov lo meshtabede. We have a rule. When I lend money, the only thing, or so when I borrow money, the only thing that becomes mortgaged against that loan is property, not metaltelin. So therefore, if I have a cow. Let's go back to the case now. Same case, the sefa. I sell a cow to my friend. Without achrayut. I don't take responsibility. I'll be able to testify that the cow belongs to him. Because anyway, the creditors cannot go take the cow. Because metaltlin are not mishabed for a loan. Now, what's the reason? So, Gebras, my ta'ama metaltlininu. Or metaltlin ba'al chov. Do we have a reason for that? Yes, we'll give a reason. Even though when he borrows the money, he says, you'll be able to recoup your money even from the shirt on my back. Even though he writes that, still doesn't matter. That means the shirt on his back that's in his possession. But stuff that he sold, it doesn't include. Abalitnu bi'anayu lo. Understand that? Which means even though when I borrow money, I write. And if I don't pay you back, you can take the shirt off my back. That's only a shirt that's on his back, meaning it's in his possession. But once I sold my shirt, it's not mishu'mad to the loan. So therefore I have no gain to testify that the cow belongs to the buyer. Because I'm not paying back my loan with it. Good? Now, Ela, that's for sure. Ela afilu asa'o aputiki. Let's say I made the cow an aputiki, where I told the lender, apotehe ka'e. See this cow? If I don't pay you back, you could come, I specified you could come after the cow. Now normally when you make an apotiki, so then already the guy can go after that field first. He can go because you designated it. Even if you designated it, you cannot. Namilo. Why? My tama kedraba. Tamaraba asa abdo apotiki. If you made your slave an apotiki, umcharon, you sold the slave. Balhov gove mimenu. The creditor can collect from the slave. Shoro v'chamoro apotiki. If you made your animal apotiki, umcharo, em balhov gove mimenu. My tama. What's the difference? Hi. Itle kala vehalet le kala, which means you gotta know a rule. You can only make a she'bud on something that the buyer was able to hear that there's a lien on something. Because otherwise it's not fair. Guy buys something, all of a sudden they come and take it away from him because there was a lien on something. If I make my eved an apotiki, there's a call on that. People hear that. And therefore people, see that eved, there's a lien on him. That's an apotiki they made on him. They made a pledge on him. So therefore, when I buy it, you could assume that you knew that you were buying risky item here. So therefore, in that case, the creditors can come and take the eved. The guy can't scream, I bought an eved, what are you taking away from me? You should have known, there's a call on an eved. But on animals, when you make an animal a potiki, this animal, the animals are not discernible. When a guy buys a cow, it's like, this is the cow that you made in a potiki. A cow's a cow, it doesn't look any different than another cow. So therefore, even if you made an apotiki, guy said, this cow over here, if I don't pay you back, you can take it back. When I sell it, bottom line, to the next guy, there's no shabud. Because the guy can claim, I had no idea, by the way, this is the cow that had the apotiki. Well, didn't you hear the guy made a cow? Yeah, well, I heard, but do I know it's this cow? And Evid is discernible. So there's a call to say, this is the Evid. So you should have known, therefore we can take it away from you. So therefore, the Gemara is coming along to say, big hadush. I sell a cow to my friend. Okay? With no ahalayut. I take no responsibility, I tell the guy. If they take it away from me, I'm not paying back. The hadush is over there. I can testify. I can testify. First day somebody comes and says, hey, it doesn't belong to the purchaser. It belongs to somebody else. I, the seller, can testify to keep it by him. Because I have no advantage. Because it's not going to benefit my creditors either, by the way. Because even if my creditors come, I have no money, right? I'm a rasha, I have no money, I can't pay that. He's going there, he's not going to get paid either from there either. So I'm a rasha regardless. So I'm not gaining anything, I still can't pay. Why can't I pay? Because we have a rule. Metaltalin are not mishu'bad for a loan. Even if he writes in the stand, even the shirt on my back, that's only metaltalin that are in his possession. But once you sell it, there's no shabud on metaltalin. Oh, even if he made it in a potiki, even if he said, this cow over here. No, because bottom line, the cow is not discernible. And therefore, bottom line, when he sells it, the guy has no idea to buy it. This was the cow that the potiki was over here. The cow has a certain look. An eved is different. So that's the reason why the way understanding about it is a haluk between a field. A field is different. When I sell a field to my friend, and I tell him no responsibility, by the way, if they take it away from you, I'm off the hook. I cannot testify not to keep it in his possession. Because why? By keeping it in his possession, I benefit that my creditors can come take that field. So therefore, I'm not a rasha anymore. Oh, that already is advantageous. That's why you cannot test. So that's the way we learn the Braita. It's a haluk between a field and a cow. Good?
Comes Gemara and continues. Gemara is trying to find the reasons why he's still in Ogeya, why he can't testify. Velichush dilma aknele metaltele agav mekarkei deamar rava I aknele metaltele agav mekarkei kane mekarkei kane metaltele, which means maybe this cow over here is a lien. What about? You said you can't make a lien on a metaltelin. No, but maybe he did it agav karka, which means maybe the guy, the lender, he said, you know, if I don't pay you, so you can go back to my karka, and he attached the cow to the karka. And the law is that once already you attach the cow to the karka, you can go after the cow as well. Also, went back to the question: how can he testify? The cow now becomes payable for the loan. I thought you said betatlin. No, yes, betatlin when they're alone. But if the betatlin is attached to the karka, so that works. So therefore, how can he testify? Because that's to his advantage. So his baal hov will come along and collect.
Then if we do, the guy doesn't know the difference between cows.
Yeah, but that's only when it's a cow alone. But that's a din of karka. It's an extension of karka. When there's a karka involved, there's a call in the karka. So therefore, you should know there was an issue of the cow as well. So that's the Gemara. Look at the Rashbam. After they get wide, actually the first wide line. V'nichush dilma de'akne. Amale klomar akati ikal mehaj de'akne lehachpara v'talet lemal ve'agav mekarkei ve'echida mekigon demekambeh achik shelavah. Before he made a loan, katav lemal ve'bishtam mishtavdan alach agav mekarkei. Agav the karka, I am subjugating to you. Kol nechasai de'kanai. Udatid anal lemekne. Okay, he says whatever I'm going to buy and whatever I'm going to purchase in the future as well. Ushelakach hapara v'atalet acharechem. When he bought the cow, let's say nishtabedu lo miyad. Okay, so therefore the bottom line, when he says I'm mishabed for the karka, anything I'm going to buy is linked to the karka. So therefore the paraz mishubat. So there was ma'amar of chazda. Oh. Actually, I jumped the gun on that Rashbam, but it's fine. The Amar of Chazda, Rav Chazda said, "V'hu dekatav la delo keasmachta udlo ketofsad v'shtare." When you want to be mishabed metalted into the karka, it's got to be done in a way where the malveh knows you're serious. Where it's not just done like a. Remember what asmachta was? Asmachta is when you make a promise of some sort. Or a commitment, and you say, you know, if this happens, I'll do this. And it's so far-fetched that the person doesn't believe that you're really serious. You know, asmachta lo kanya. So therefore, in this case, when you're giving it over, you have to write in the shtar, and I'm giving you over this, because he might not get the cow in the first place. If I pay my money back, he doesn't get the cow as a shabud. So he's like, if I don't pay you back, I'm even going to be mishabed my cow to you. That sounds like an asmachta, so that's the right. But I'm not joking around here. It's not what asmachta. I mean it. I'm going to give it to you. Ooh, you understand? You have to say it in a way where, because otherwise it can be interpreted as asmachta. Well, if I don't pay the debt back, I'm even going to give you my cow. Yeah, the guy says, yeah, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't think it's going to ever happen. So then he wasn't maybe makneir over, really. So he has the right. Udlok asmachta. I don't want it to work. With asmachta, look at the Rashbam. That's why I said I read out of order. Go back. The look asmachta. That's higher up. The kivan the enzo mechira gemura velo matana velo maskor ela shamud be'alma vedami laasmachta kama le'im lo epral yekal lezman. If I don't pay you on time, lezman ploni tigbem mikan el kasserich lichtov bo la'alumeshter to make the star more powerful. The look asmachta. Does not work with asmachta. Asmachta lo kanya. Not only that, you have to write the next thing. And not with tofseh shtare. Tofseh shtare is, sometimes you have a shtar, but it's not a legal shtar. It's written. Now sometimes the sofrim use that as the template to write, to copy other shtarot from. So you're saying, this shtar that I'm writing here, it's not a template for a sofer to use, you know, for his shtarot. This is a real shtar. Yeah, you have to write that in the shtar. Look at the next Rashbam. Udlo ketofseh de shtare, hu shtare asu le'atik memenu shtarot, ve'lo nechtov legbot bo, ve'en bo mamash. It doesn't have any credence to it because it's only written as a copy, to copy from. Anyway, he's got to write that. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question, Lamase. Maybe the cow is mishubad. Therefore, how can he testify that it belongs to the buyer because he's benefiting that his Baal Hov is going to collect it? So Gemara says, Acha b'maskinan. Kegon shelakach umachar le'altar. We know he didn't mishabed his cow. You know why? Because we know the guy who sold the cow, he bought it immediately and then sold it. So we know there was no time for him to have a loan in between that the cow was mishabed. The guy bought the cow and sold it immediately. Once you buy it and sell it immediately, we can assume there was no time for any shabud to go on this cow. So there was no shabud on the cow, because we know he bought it and sold it immediately. Clear or no? So comes Gemara and says, what do you mean? V'lihush dilma de'iknehu. Maybe the seller made the loan before, and he sold it. That's the Rashbam that I read you before. Maybe everything was already from before. He made the loan before, and he told the guy, this loan is connected to karka and to any metatlin that I'm going to buy. So therefore, the second he bought the cow, boom, the cow was mishomad. He bought the cow and then he sold it right away. But maybe this was already pre
pre-planned from before that any metad that I'm going to buy is going to be mishrubad. Yeah? So Gemara says, you know, we could learn from it. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't have this problem, shma mina de'ikni kana umachar kana vehorish lo mishtabed. That bottom line, when a guy says, whatever I'm going to buy and then sell, or whatever I'm going to buy and then morish to my children, there's no sherbud on. A sherbud can only go on something that's there at the time. Right? It's like a davar shelo ba'al ha'olam. Which means, I cannot make a sherbud on something I don't own yet. So therefore, that's what he's teaching over here. That's why you cannot entertain the case we're talking about over here, where the guy said, okay, make a sherbud on the cow, and any cow that I buy in the future, no, that doesn't work. The cow's got to be in your possession. So therefore, we're back to the point where the guy's not a nogeya in his testimony. The guy's not a nogeya in his testimony, because the case is talking about, he sold him a cow. We know that there was no time for a loan to take place in between, because the second he bought the cow, he sold it. So we know the cow was not mishu'bad. So if a balei chovot cannot take it, so if he has no benefit from giving the testimony. So the Gemara says, no. Lo tzericha deka'amre edim yad'inan bebehai delo ave le'ar'a me'olam. So comes the Gemara and says, actually like this, I'm sorry, I'm going to read to you better. Gemara says, Gemara's question was what? Maybe he did it in the future. Maybe he said, the cow that I'm going to buy, you know, that's going to be a mishrubad. The cow that I'm going to buy, so then maybe this cow has a shermud on it. So the Gemara says, and if you're going to tell me that, that's not a good answer, so then you're going to answer a famous dilemma that we have throughout Shas. In Shas, this is a question. Can you make a shermut on something that you don't own yet? So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that you can't, so then you bring this Gemara as a proof to that dilemma. Now, for the fact that we don't bring this as a proof, that means it's still a question. So then maybe you can do something in the future. Which means, really, in Shas, this is a question. Can you make a shemun until you don't own yet? So Gemara says, right, listen, if you don't want to entertain this as a possibility in this case, so you haven't answered your question, bring it out. If this Gemara, the fact that Gemara didn't use this as a case, must be you can't. And we don't use it as an ayah. So it must be still in the dilemma. So maybe it is possible. So we're back to the question. Maybe actually use the made the cow a shemun before he even owned it. I lent money. I borrowed money. The guy said, hey, what is it attached to? It's attached to karka. Anything else? You know what? And any metata that I'm going to buy, it's attached. Then he bought a cow. Now he sold it. The metata is going to be mishrubad because he made that deal. He wrote the lokas machta, the loke, all the things that's to write, like fake shtarot. He sold it to him. Now, and it's, I can still testify. How can I still testify that it belongs to him? I'm benefiting that the Mishrabud is going to go and the Baal Chov is going to go to the guy and take it. Gemara says, "Lot Sericha, the Kaam the Edim Yedin and Bebehai the Lo Avi the Aram Meolam." You have to give the case where Edim testified. We know the seller did not own land ever. He was never a landowner. So therefore, we know there was no Shabud ever agav land. Our suspicion was, maybe there was a shermud agav land. You know there's no shermud agav land. How do you know? Because there's testifying witnesses that clearly said the guy who sold it never owned a piece of land in his life. So therefore we know he couldn't agav it, agav the karka, because he never had karka. And the tatlin doesn't go for a shermud. Therefore there's no advantage for this guy to testify. If I come along and testify, the cow belongs to the buyer. What am I gaining? I'm not getting anything. And then, shabud, no, it's not mishrubad. But if it goes to the other guy, you're gonna have to repay him. No, it's no ahrayut. So therefore, there's really no benefit for me to testify. So therefore, I'm not considered biased. Therefore, I'm not considered a nogeya. Ve'amar papa. So the papa comes along and says, afagav de'amur rabbanan. Even though the rabbi said, "Hamocher sadeh lachaveru shelo ba'achrayut," let's say you sell a field to your friend, no responsibility. I don't take any responsibility. Uba baal chov utrafa, and now, sure enough, what happened? A baal chov came, a creditor came and took the property. Eno chozer alav, right?
We agree to that. He has no recourse back to the buyer, to the seller, because I told you no ahalayut. However, nimset she'ena shelo, but let's say it's found out that he sold them something that didn't belong to him. That the field that he sold them without a halayut. And then all of a sudden they find out, hey, you know what? It was a stolen field. Then he says, Chozer alav, the buyer is allowed to go back. Because that's different. That's different. If there's a baal chov involved, okay, you took a risk. Right. And I told you, you know, no responsibility. But that you sold me a field that didn't belong to you?
They're still again in the case of
right. So let's go slow. So therefore,
No deal. Nothing happened.
No deal. Very good. But once you're saying that that's a possibility, go back to the cow case. When I sell somebody a cow, how can I testify that it's his, even though I didn't take responsibility? I'm still prejudiced because if somebody else is going to come and claim that it's his, that it's stolen. So therefore, I would have to replay this, pay this guy's money back. So it's to my advantage to say that it belongs to him. Because in the case, you're right, in the case of Baal Chov, it'll never happen Baal Chov, because Baal Chov, anyway, can I get to the cow. But in the case where, let's say, somebody comes along and says, hey, that's my cow. And it's found out that really I sold him a cow that wasn't mine. I can't say, well, no, how do you? So, no, you have to pay back. Oh, so if it's my advantage to say that the cow belongs to him, how can I testify then back to Gemara's question, you're prejudiced, you're a nogei abedavar? The buyer recognizes that the animal is actually belonging to the owner. When the guy bought it, he knew that this was the bat of the hamor of the owner. He knows that it's here. But somebody else is screaming over here, it's mine. And he brought witnesses, and the witnesses were accepted because they were false, and everything like that. And he had to end up giving the hamor to somebody else. But at the end of the day, he says, "But I know it says hamor. I know it belonged to him." So there's nothing stronger than an admission from the guy himself. So then in that case, I don't have to replenish. So I sold him an animal. At the time I sold him an animal, the guy says, "Why? I know this animal is yours because I see it has a resemblance to the mother hamor. I know this is your hamor." Once the guy himself admits that he knows that the hamor came from the seller, even though it might get taken away from him because of false witnesses and stuff like that, he doesn't get replenished. Because why should I replenish? You yourself admit that it was my hamor that I sold. So they can't say, "Well, he took it away." But you yourself know that it was mine, and I sold it to you. I sold it to you legally. So that's the case it's talking about. So therefore, he wouldn't be able to take it away from him. Comes to Gemara, gives another opinion on this. The Rav Zvid Amar. Rav Zvid says, "Afilu nimset she'ena shelo, ena chozer alav de Amar le la'achi zevini lach shelo b'halayut." Exactly. Rav Zvid says, when I sell you something without responsibility, I don't care how it gets taken away from you. Even if it gets taken away from you, that they tell you at the end, he sold you something that didn't belong to him. You can't come back to me and say, "Hey, I want you to pay. Hey, what do you think I sold it to you without a harayut for?" I sold it without a harayut means without a harayut. And therefore, in all cases, no matter what the reason why the animal was taken away from him, the deen is no harayut, and therefore there's no recourse. That's Rav Zvid. Okay, look at the bottom line of the Rashbam. Rav Zvid Amar, Afal Gav de Enu Makir Bashimat Hamoro, even though he doesn't even recognize, which means we're talking about a case where he doesn't know that it's that this hamor really was sold to him, that belongs to the owner. Me'id lo alea, that filu vaday gezila, because even if it was definitely gezul, let's take a case where it's clearly that he sold them a stolen item. It's clear. Doesn't matter. Eno chozer alav. The amale lahachiz avinilach. Because hey, you stole me something that was stolen. Repay me. Hello. That's why I sold it to you without a harayut, because I was stolen, by the way. So I knew you would come back to me in that case. So therefore, he holds, even if it's vaday gezula, that's why I can always testify. Because even without a harayut, doesn't matter. And no matter what the case is going to be, he never is going to have to pay him back. Okay? Baruch Anu Adonai. Amen.